If you have your Bible, just open to 1 Corinthians 14. That's a good Holy Spirit chapter, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You know, all throughout the chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, the whole chapter, Paul goes in and out of teaching about the differences between your personal prayer life in the Spirit and the public use of tongues, interpretation of prophecy in the assembly. And based on the context and what he's talking about there, you kind of have to read through it. And sometimes it can apply to both. But you notice there he talks about for us to covet earnestly the best gifts in chapter 12. Then he starts off chapter 14 talking about following love and desiring spiritual gifts. That word desire means to have a zeal that burns. Something you covet. You know when you covet something, it's like you want it so bad you'll do anything for it. And it's the only thing in the scriptures we're told to actually covet. Is the move of the Spirit. Yeah. Praise God. So he starts off that way. And I don't think it's any coincidence that after he talks about following after love and desiring spiritual gifts, he immediately begins to talk about the utterance gifts. Because, you know, that's one of the ways God speaks to His people. Tongues and interpretation of prophecy. He starts right off on that. It's probably one of the most misunderstood areas of the church. Probably one of the most misused areas of the church over the years. That's why many have shied away from it over the years. But it's important because He speaks to us that way. You know, I always wondered, I'd ask the Lord, there's a gentleman that I've known for many years. He's spoken some words into my life and my wife's life. And they've been just so accurate and right on. I'm like, Lord, why didn't You tell me that? You know, you know, and many times I've had a word for someone and I'll speak to them and I'll think, well, why couldn't You just tell them that? But you know, sometimes depending on our perspective, the circumstances we're dealing with, there's a lot of filters there. And maybe our level of awareness is not there where we need to be. Sometimes that person is, you know, because they're disconnected from the circumstance, they can hear things that you can't hear. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. But it's important because these are the ways that He imparts things and deposits things into our spirit. You know, in an anointed service where God's speaking, things can change for you in a millisecond. Yeah. That years of striving and working on your own just can't do. Praise God. So he begins to immediately talk about these utterance gifts. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, one thing that we know that Paul was dealing with in the Corinthian church was excess. But you notice he didn't ever say, stop that. You stop that. No more of that tongue business. No more of that interpretation of prophecy. You stop that. No, he didn't do that. Amen. Because the gospel of grace was propagated by the Spirit of grace. Yeah. Amen? And Paul was the apostle of grace. So he wasn't trying to put his people under law where the things of the Spirit was concerned. Yeah. No, what he was trying to do was redemptively correct them and point them in the right direction.
Right.
Amen. Amen? He wanted us to use these gifts. You know, anything that's good can be abused, right?
Yes.
Amen. Anything that's good can be abused. But you don't stop using it because it's good for you.
That's right.
He said these things are for our profit. These gifts of the Spirit are for a prophet. You know, when you make a profit, that means you come out ahead, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
You go into a business deal and you walk away with a profit, you're ahead of where you started.
Yes.
Well, when we're in the presence of God and these utterance gifts and these manifestations are working, we come out ahead. We ought to leave here better than when we came in.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Because God's imparting things into us and planting things into us that are going to bear fruit down the road.
Yeah.
By His Spirit. Amen. So, he mentions the fact that they're to be desired. Now, when he talks about, in verse 2, he talks about that when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're speaking unto God. And no man understands Him. And you're not supposed to. When you're talking unto the Lord, it's not important for anybody else to understand you. But you know what? He says this in the Message translation. I love this translation. Verse 2 says, God understands you, but no one else does, for you are sharing intimacies just between you and Him. What a way to be intimate with the Lord. Praise God. And you know what? If I can pray in tongues at home and be edified, then I can pray in tongues with you and we're all edified. See, where error has come in is where people got the idea that by scriptures that say, you know, if you all come in and you speak with tongues, then everybody's going to say you're mad. Well, you know what? If Pastor Mark came in on Sunday morning and he stood up and he said, welcome to Life of Faith. And then for the next hour, he just talked in tongues and said, have a good day, you're dismissed. Well, he would be crazy probably. Because it wouldn't edify anybody but himself.
That's right.
But yet, if we're sharing intimacies with God, you know, services have a purpose.
Yeah.
When we come in on Saturday mornings to pray, we're all praying in the Spirit, and we're all being edified, but not every word's being interpreted because it's not necessary. But when we all together stand up and begin to worship Him in the Spirit, we're all being edified at the same time. And there's a corporate impact we receive from each other. Amen? Now, then he starts talking about different things. In verse 6, he says, now what if I come talking tongues to you? Now, if I have a message for Jennifer in tongues, it's important that I interpret that with some kind of revelation or doctrine or prophecy of some kind. Because otherwise, it's not going to edify her unless it comes out that way. But you know, we had 40 verses in 1 Corinthians to instruct the church for time eternal in the gifts of the Spirit, and these utterance gifts. Now you notice he talks about desiring spiritual gifts, but he doesn't mention any of the other ones in that chapter. It's only tongues, interpretation, prophecy. The miracles, the gifts of healings, all those things. Number one, there wasn't an excess of those, more than likely. And number two, those are things that the Spirit of God initiates. But when it comes to tongues and interpretation and many times prophecy, those are things we can initiate. Praise God. Now, word of knowledge and word of wisdom will work along with those. But you notice he doesn't mention anything about those other gifts. It's strictly the utterance gifts. But we have these 40 verses that throughout time eternal we're going to see more and more light on. I notice every time I go back and read things, I'll see things I didn't see before. Praise God. You know, Paul told us that Jesus gave him the revelation of the gospel of grace personally. So wouldn't you think this 40 verses of chapter 14 are part of what Jesus told him? Because it is the Spirit of grace. You know, a grace church ought to be a Spirit church. And a Spirit church ought to be a grace church. Praise God. Because it's the same Spirit that brought the gospel of grace that's moving amongst us, because everything that's said under these utterance gifts should point back to the finished work of the cross and glorify Him and edify His people. Praise God. At the very end of the chapter, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Well, you know what? I don't know anybody or believe anyone that's a sincere believer that loves God wants to do anything that's not decent and in order. I don't believe that. You know, if they are, there's something wrong with them. Everybody wants to be done decent and in order. And thank God, Pastor Mark and Jennifer have given us a safe place to learn and to grow, so that if people do make mistakes, the correction is done redemptively and we're pointed back to what we're here for, which is to edify and to bless and to build up God's people and to grow. Amen? So it's kind of like, you know, if the whole chapter is kind of like a big Holy Ghost sandwich. Verse 1 says, desire spiritual gifts and follow love. And at the very end, it says, do it all decently in order. What is decently in order? What edifies? What blesses? What lifts up God's people? Amen? You know, he mentions many times that everybody, I believe, you know, tonight's one of those nights where everybody might have a tongue or a revelation. You know, a crowd's just about the right size for God just to move on everybody tonight. Praise God. Amen. But all things done in decently and in order. What's helping others? Because you know, when you're moving in these utterance gifts, you get blessed indirectly, but they're really not for you. It's for another. But sometimes people, unknowingly and unlearningly and maybe immaturely, are wanting to do their own deal. But you know, it's more important that you be blessed than I just do my own deal. Amen? Because we want Him to be glorified. Praise God. You know, and sometimes people have not been around the gifts of the Spirit. Paul calls it someone who might occupy the room of the unlearned. But you know, we don't want them to stay in that room. We want to get them out of that room, get them into the room with us, amen, where they're learning and growing. That's why I said it's important that we teach these things. But I may have told you guys before, I grew up in a Pentecostal setting. You know, I was in Pentecostal tent meetings in the 60s with my parents, you know, and I saw all kinds of things. A lot of things you shouldn't have seen. Many things that were of the Spirit of God, many things that weren't. But see, I've seen a model of people flowing in these utterance gifts that maybe some of the people a generation later haven't seen. But it's not the fact that, you know, many times we'll see someone give a tongue, and then the person give the interpretation, the same iambic pentameter that tongue was given in, the same rhythm, the same meter. But just because it's done that way doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just that way that that person learned to flow. Some of that is you learned it, it was a learned behavior from someone you saw. But someone who never saw that, they don't have any idea what that's about. And a great example of that was a Sunday morning a few months ago where Pastor Mark was teaching about the hearing the voice of God. And there was a young lady sitting over here named Amy. You remember that, Jennifer? And she came up and she had a word to share. And she said this, she said, as she was sitting there praying, the Lord showed her a picture of herself when she was a little girl. And she said, the Spirit of God said to her, God loves that little girl. And that little girl is still on the inside of me. Man, doesn't that bless you to hear that?
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee you that when Amy was walking down that aisle, her thought was not, I'm about to prophesy. But you know she did? Because the spirit of prophecy, first of all, is a testimony of Jesus. She was testifying to the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
Also, it edified everybody. I saw people wiping tears. I was choking them back. Amen. Because you begin to think about how much God loves you. And that prophecy came right from the heart of God. But I guarantee you that was not in her mind that she was walking down and said, I'm about to prophesy. And I bet you after she was done, she didn't sit down and go, that was a good prophecy. Because she wasn't thinking that way. But it was an inspired utterance in a known language that edified, exhorted, and comforted God's people. Amen. So God wants to flow through us. He wants to use you and I the way that we flow. Now, I'm going to flow different than other people might flow, but that's why He said, hey, there's differences of the way people minister, but it's the same Spirit. And that Spirit lives within every one of us. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And then Paul goes on and talks about, in verse 5, would that you all speak with tongues. Is there any question what Paul's position is on tongues? I want you all to speak in tongues. Amen. And he begins the next verse, as I mentioned, he says, now. And it's kind of like he's pausing for effect. In verse 6, that if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Again, the Spirit of God wants us to profit in everything that we do. Except I will speak to you by revelation or knowledge or by prophesying. In other words, interpret it. And we know, Pastor Mark's taught us, it's not a word-for-word translation. Otherwise, the Apostle Paul said, if somebody comes in and they're unlearned, they might seem like you're a barbarian. Now, the word barbarian sounds horrible. You know, I think of Conan the Barbarian. It just means foreigner. Amen? Now, I learned a little bit about that in Costa Rica not too long ago, what it meant to be a foreigner and not know what was going on. But you know what? As I was there, I began to pick up on things. We would say, Dios te ama. It means God bless you or God loves you. I'm sorry, God loves you. See? Cynthia's helping me. But they would always say, de igual. And I didn't know what that meant. So I had to ask one of the interpreters, it meant same to you. Well, then whenever they said it back to me, I thought, oh yeah, they're blessing me back. And we would pick up on little phrases. So as I was in that environment for a little while, I began to learn some of their culture. It's the same thing being around the things of the Spirit. The more we do this, the more we get comfortable. And it's not foreign to us. Amen. But you know, people that have never been around it, they just don't know. But you know what? Spiritual people can pick up on spiritual things. Some things are just spirit to spirit. We learned that praying for people in the parks, that if we didn't know how to speak their language and we didn't have an interpreter, there's that spirit to spirit connection between people. Amen. He mentions in verse 12, even so, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And that's our goal. Excel at it. Get good at it. That's what we're doing on these Wednesday nights. We're getting good at this. Praise God. He says in verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is improved. Aren't you glad we have a way to pray spirit to spirit with the Father? And then he asks a question in verse 15. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I'll sing with the understanding also. Now, I mentioned this, I think, one time in a prayer service. As many hundreds of times as I've read this chapter over the years, I never noticed he said, I'll pray with the Spirit first. Then I'll pray with the understanding. You know, our tendency is to pray with the understanding as far as we can go and then pray in the Spirit, which is nothing wrong with that. But yet the Lord's putting an emphasis on something right now about the things of the Spirit. Now, we don't want to build a doctrine off of that. Sometimes it's not appropriate. You know, if you're at Cracker Barrel leading the prayer breakfast and somebody asks you to pray over the food, you don't want to go into tongues at the top of your voice. That would not be appropriate. But I encourage you to try it sometime at home in your own prayer language. When you're beginning to pray, just go pray in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden words in your understanding will be quickened to you. And there'll be a little bit more authority on them, a little more power. The Lord's led me to pray that way many times over the years. Things to declare, things that you can pray out over loved ones. Amen. And then interpretation comes. He says, elsewise when thou shalt, in verse 16, elsewise when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. Now the Lord's been really talking to me about that lately, is that phrase, bless with the Spirit. That if there's someone that I'm praying for, I can bless that person with the Spirit. Amen? I can bless them in the Spirit. I don't have to know what's going on in their life. I don't have to know their problems or all the things. I don't have to read their mail. All I know is that I want to bless them in the Spirit. Praise God. You know what I think we ought to do right now? We ought to just bless Pastor Mark in the Spirit. Now, let's stand up for just a moment. Praise God. We'll begin to activate here in just a second. Hallelujah. You know what? Pastor Mark has got such a wonderful heart for the people of God. He and Jennifer just love you guys so much. And I think right now we can just bless him in the Spirit for strength, safe journey home, praise God, and a great end of his week. Lord, right now we just pray for Pastor Mark. And in the Spirit, Lord, we bless him. Bada kosa kista lama rama nona sikarata vela goromo tostela kistele. Go ahead and lift up your voice. The Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for refreshing him. And for refreshing him. Lord, he sowed good seed into good ground out there. And it's going to bear fruit for the future. That vision's been cast. Thank you, Lord, that you're building him up. Lord, he's taking steps of faith right now in different areas. And Lord, you're showing him what to do. You're guiding him, Lord. And we acknowledge you in that. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for him. We thank you for Pastor Mark. Praise God. He goes on to talk about giving thanks well. You know you can give thanks in the Spirit. Lord, we thank you. You know, many have tried to use that sort of that scripture about, well, if you were praying tongues over your food. But you know, food's not mentioned in that verse anywhere. He's talking about blessing and giving of thanks. Blessing and giving of thanks in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he goes on in verse 18 and says this, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. One time I was reading that verse, and it was almost like four words jumped off the page and hit me with a wet dish rag. Speak with tongues more. Speak with tongues more. You know, right now the Lord is emphasizing that in us, speaking with tongues. Speaking with tongues. More in our personal life. Riding down the road in the car, when you're getting ready, taking time apart in your personal time to speak in tongues more. And then praying with the understanding. Amen. Because you know, we're just in a season right now where the things of the Spirit are being emphasized. And God is stirring up. And it's not just here. It's all over the world. God is stirring up things. Pastor Mark's told me he's talked to pastors all over that are having these same things going, being stirred up in the Spirit. God is stirring some things up in our hearts. And momentum is building right now. Momentum is building in the Spirit. Praise God. He mentioned this. In the law it's written, you can be seated. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. But you know what? People that are legalistic don't want to hear these things. He mentions that in Isaiah. You know, I always thought tongues is in the Old Testament. Yeah. The book of Isaiah talks about the refreshing. But he said people wouldn't hear. People wouldn't hear. I believe we're a people that are going to hear what He's saying to us by the Spirit. Because the Spirit of grace is not legalistic. Hallelujah. He's here to set us free. Loving and respectful. Praise God. So then he goes on to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edify. Amen. I believe we're in a time tonight where everyone has got something they can share tonight. It'll edify and bless. If any man speak in a tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. You know, I've always heard that it's said that, you know, if we're in a church service and there's a tongue, it can't be more than two or three. But you know what? It says if any man speak in a tongue. I think, you know, more than, does that mean for the rest of your life? Does that mean for the entire church service or for the week or all day Sunday? He said if any man, I think he's talking more about Mike Hoggs than anybody. You know, if one guy came up here and gave two, three, or four, or five tongues and wouldn't let anybody else say anything, that wouldn't be edifying. It wouldn't be right. But does that mean that just because that one verse says that, that that's legalistic, that if you have a church service where more than three people speak in tongues, that it's wrong? I don't think the Spirit of grace would do that to us and put us under that law. Praise God. The point is, let it be done to edify. If more than three tongues edifies, praise God. Amen. So we all learn and grow in this, praise God. I know that Mark and Jennifer have a heart for us to grow and to learn. So what we're going to do now is we're going to say goodbye to the live stream. Thank you for joining us tonight. Everybody wave and say goodbye.